If y'all have your Bibles, and if you don't, we got one for you. Turn to Jeremiah, and we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 1, and then you could mark Jeremiah 29. And before we do that, though, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are good. You're good because of your grace. Grace is something we don't deserve, yet you give freely. I just pray we'd know your grace more in that grace of a new life, grace of breaking chains, grace in a new family, grace in a home that is the family of Christ, grace that is a life that we never dreamed possible, of being used both in our hometowns or all over the world. And it is an adventure, and it doesn't end at death. The grace only continues over and above what we imagine, what we plan for in heaven for eternal life. And it's because of Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your church. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the people who make it up. Thank you for those who served so willingly and worked so hard and prayed so hard and gone through tough times because of your promise of a church and a home and for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all again for being here. Again, I hope you all got a bite to eat if you got something or if you're hungry. We're breaking things up today. I've been preaching a series called Who is Jesus? And we're taking a little break to do something special today. Last week, I talked about Jesus about healing. And next week, I'm actually talking about Jesus is about miracles. And so, actually, this Sunday, this message is really a good in-between, because what God has done here at Bellwether over the years, he's done a lot of healing, both physically and emotionally. And he's brought about some miracles. And I'm going to talk about a miracle today. Actually, I'm going to talk about several miracles. Actually, all of us seated here are miracles, not just because we were born, but what Jesus can do in us and through us. So, Jeremiah 1, just two verses, Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Again, that verse 5. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you, a prophet to the nations." Last year, 2012, my wife and I suffered three miscarriages. We didn't tell many people about the third, just because, you know, you have two and, you know, just kind of a downer, you know. And also, being a pastor, you know, it is a blessing to see people's lives and what they go through and what they live through, the good and the bad. I say it's a blessing because it offers an opportunity to really speak the living word, the word of Christ, into them. So bottom line is, it's, I know the stuff that goes down, and you know, it's like everybody's got their burdens, everybody's got their cross, so, you know, don't want to make a lot to do with it, but, you know, it's suffering, it's a life. And so anyway, as we were going through that, we were like, well, we want to try to have another child, and we'll see if God blesses us with one. And he did, and his name is Ethan, and we praise God for him. But when Linda got pregnant, you know, and it was only like a couple weeks, and went to the doctor for the first time, and took a picture, you know, the first sonogram, and still have it in my Bible. And I put it at this verse, Jeremiah 1:5. And what I would do, because, you know, it was like 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and, you know, anything can happen anytime. And each day, as I do my devotion, I would turn and I'd put my hand, like half my hand would be on the picture, half hand would be on this verse, you know. And I'd pray over the little dude. And I chose that verse just, you know, it's pretty clear what the verse says, that before I formed you in the womb, I knew, before you were born. And that is, it's amazing to think about. You know, before we were born, he was not only knitting us together, he had a plan for us. And that's why I also love this verse. It's not just like about creation. It's about God had a vision for Jeremiah to be a prophet to nations. Now, let me say this. I don't know if Ethan is going to be a preacher or not. You know, if that's God's call on his life, so be it. That was not the plan. I think of it a little deeper than that. See, I think all of us are called to be prophets to nations. I really do. Now, you could formally be called or have the title of a preacher or a reverend, but we're all, if we have Christ in us, we are called to be prophets, both in deed and by word. And I believe to nations, too. It just depends if we make that call to continue going. And that's why I really, you know, one of the big reasons I named Bellwether what I did, what we did. I mean, some people had some discussion, but Bellwether means a leader, means a pace setter, means a trailblazer, means someone who will go, someone who will step out, someone who say, "This is, there's something more, there's something bigger than just me here." Bellwethers are prophets to nations. And so, and again, Linda was, she was pregnant and she delivered, and we have a healthy boy, praise God. And God willing, you know, he's going to be a prophet to nations. I don't know if he's going to be a preacher or not, but I believe all of us are called to be prophets to nations. I believe you are. And that's what we want to encourage you to do here. Now, with that said, talking about Bellwether, see, Bellwether, we have our children, and we love our children. And for Linda and I, you know, when we started Bellwether, I mean, it was like a baby to us. I mean, it was literally like our other baby. And the thing was, we started Bellwether right as we had Jack. And so I look at Jack, and, you know, he's 5 going on 6. And so, and I think about Bellwether. I mean, I think about, you know, that age, that it's like a child. And we want him to grow healthy, and we want him to grow strong. And we want to nurture this child. I was at a class this week, and in that class, I heard about a church in England that just celebrated its 1,300th birthday. 1,300 years old. I mean, the people celebrate. It's not 30 years, not 50, not 100. 1,300 years. And the community, that church celebrated. We're that old. Can you imagine a church going on for that long? And I want that for Bellwether. I mean, look, the Lord may come again in 1,000 years, but I want Bellwether to have this long, wonderful life of leaders and pastors and servants and missions and going as prophets to nations, and not 5 years or 10 years or 30 years, that it goes on and on and on. And I want you to want that for Bellwether and to believe that for Bellwether, and that God can do great things in generations. I mean, we're already seeing that with our youth. Riley up there serving, she's played. Many of our youth have played up here. Many of our youth are serving. And one of my mentors said the best thing that can happen to your child is to be part of a church plant when we started, because they see church in a totally different way. I'm so thankful my kids get to see church in a totally different way, that they've been raised in a church like this with people who loved and cared for them, with a family of Jesus. I want that for your children. I want them to know church is more than a building. Church is the people. Church is the body. And we're living that out, and we'll continue. But, you know, when we started Bellwether, and it was, you know, we just, you know, it was like we were protective of that child. And, you know, the thing about it, though, is just like our children who God was knitting in the womb, God knew a lot more about Bellwether than I did, or we did, or those of us here do now. He had a plan for Bellwether. He has a plan for Bellwether. He has a purpose for Bellwether. He has knitted Bellwether together. He did it. And he's doing it. And he will do it. And I wanted to, actually, I can't take claim. Quentin Whitwell, Counselor Whitwell, came up with the idea about y'all standing. It was a great idea, Quentin. Thank you. But I did want to do something where it highlighted, you know, when you've come to Bellwether, how long you've been here, just the entire body of Christ. Because those who were here at the beginning, y'all remember just the celebratory feelings of, and it doesn't have to be like, you know, hundreds of people. Y'all remember the celebratory feeling of like 20 and 30 gathering in a living room saying, we're starting something here. It is something new. It is something different. This is something that's greater than ourselves and we're part of. I know some of y'all remember that. It's a wonderful feeling. And then some of y'all remember our first Sunday and the excitement that builds for that. And it's like, okay, we're here. We're doing Sunday worship. We can actually do it. You know, we can load the equipment. We can set up. We can actually pick up these dirty towels at the courthouse and these basketballs that are strewn around and the balls that fall from the ceiling in the middle of the sermon. It's okay. And the toilet that will flush in the middle of the sermon. It's okay. We can still do this. We can move forward. We're a church. Praise God, those things happen. I'm not just like making them up. It was all done by Heidi down here laughing. No, just half. No. There were other things too, though, celebratory things. A baptism. I remember, I don't think they're here today. It's soccer tournament weekend. Praise God. I'm about to start coaching Jack, so I empathize, not in soccer, baseball, but the Philippi's. Owen Philippi, I believe, was the first infant baptism in Bellwether's history. Remember, just, you know, being a celebration. Yes, yeah, the life of a child, but, you know, we're baptizing babies here. I believe Anna Claire Bowden was the first immersion baptism in the pool of the courthouse. Praise God. Then Dobby got baptized. Then the Brown family got baptized. You know, it's just like all these things. Man, we're celebrating. We're here, man. We're a church. It's not about buildings. And then, you know, we were told, I mean, in a good way, like, we got to leave the courthouse. I mean, that's cool. And we hopped around Ag Museum. We're like, where are we going to go? And then, you know, things are orchestrated where we landed here. And, man, we celebrated. I mean, who would have thought? You know, literally basement to penthouse. You know, I mean, just being able to worship here. And it's comfortable. And it's great. And I know it's challenged, but it was like, man, it's great. And we celebrate. We grew here. Grew in people. Grew in resources. Grew in mission. Grew in depth. We grew. God's grown us. And then there have been challenges. I mean, there have been challenges throughout the years. You know, a couple of the big ones, just being here at JA, you know, I think of three just off the top of my head. I was thinking about, you know, what are the challenges, broadly speaking? One, just the logistic challenges of getting it done. I mean, thank you over and over again. 5+ years setting up, taking down. Just making Sunday happen. It can be a drain. Getting up early. I mean, you can't just do it for yourself. You got to do it for somebody bigger than you, that's God. But setting up, teachers rotating, getting teachers in and out, and the lives, and, you know, got to be gone this weekend, and switching up, and all of that stuff to make Sunday happen. Personal challenges. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about, like, in the life of our church. I mean, like, you know, like bombs, you know, like exploding in people's lives. I mean, people losing jobs. People breaking up. People getting a divorce. I mean, hey, you know, pick your poison. C'est la vie. I mean, it is. And those things ain't going to change. It'll only happen more and more. And we pray through them. And we try to walk through them and talk through them and, you know, give them to Jesus. But it's like real stuff. And it's hard stuff. And it's emotional stuff. And it changes lives. And it changes relationships. And c'est la vie. Not to, like, speak French. But, I mean, it's part of it. The life of a church. And then there's identity challenges, too. And I say this, like, what do you mean? Like, we're about whether we're a church. Well, here's the thing. Like, you know, when we move around and we don't have a home, it's like, you know, part of identity is getting it done, getting worship done, getting Sunday morning done, having our family ministry rolling. And, you know, our identity, I believe the identity of every church should be reaching people and growing up as leaders of Christ. That's why we do John 10:16. As you go, that's why our mission is raising leaders. But, you know, it's hard to push that identity and, like, live into it when you're just, you know, we're moving and we're shaking and we're setting up. And those are challenges. Those are real. We've lived through them. And we'll continue to live through some of them. But it's wonderful, man, that God is good, as Chris and our team sang about. It's wonderful that God blesses you in the midst of challenges and stretches you in the midst of celebrations. Go to Jeremiah 29 real quick. And A lot of us have talked about the life of this church. I know Joseph, Jill, Chris, and I, Mark, we've talked about this. And some of y'all have said it. You kind of compare the life to a church, a new church, church without a home, to like the Exodus. Y'all know about the Exodus. Moses, go through the wilderness. Man, it's like, can't we just get to the promised land, the promised land? And we think about it. It's very easy to put ourselves in that story, that we're like the Exodus people, and we've, you know, we've left, and we're in the wilderness, and we're just going to the promised land. Okay, that's easy to do, but I think actually our life is more like God's people in the time of Jeremiah. God's people in the time of Jeremiah. Because the reason I say that is, with Moses and the Exodus, they were in the woods. They were like in the wilderness. Jeremiah, God's people, they were homeless too. They were just in a city called Babylon, a city that didn't believe in God, a city and a culture that didn't believe in God, and they were like God's people. And y'all, we're living in a world, okay? This is not a Jackson, Mississippi thing. We're living in a world that doesn't believe in God. Like, yeah, people do. I mean, yes, a lot of folks do, but I mean, generally, you know, it's not a cool, hip thing to be a radical Christian. I mean, to really live out the Christian life. There are things you're going to lose. There are relationships you're going to lose. And God calls Jeremiah, and I believe, looking at for us, both people, us, you, as prophets, and the prophecy of a church, in the midst of all this, to look to God, but also to live right where they're at, and be for that city, what we talked about last fall, and be for the flourishing of that city. But it's easy to get down. It's easy to get down if you don't have a home. It's easy to get down if, you know, relationships change because you're trying to stand firm for Christ. It's easy to get down. It's like, I'm trying to live this Christian walk, but, you know, like, I'm losing old relationships, and it's hard, and it's challenging. There's hope. You have a future. We have a future. There's a God who believes in it. There's a God who knows it. There's a God who's planned it. He says so here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. And take these. I hope you'll take these verses like personally for yourself, but also for us as a church body. God tells Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." God is talking to Jeremiah, a prophet, and to a people who don't have a home and in this world that don't believe in God. And God is saying, "Don't worry. And I'm with you. I'm for you. I've got plans that I'm already orchestrating, and I'm bringing them to bear, and you have a future. And it's not a bad future. It's a future of hope. Hope for our individual lives as brothers and sisters in Christ. Hope as a church." It's one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite passages. He has hope for Bellwether. He has plans for Bellwether. And he's been putting them into place. And I want to share a little bit about those plans, about that future. Last year, Easter, I stood before you, and God had been putting on my heart, on leaders' hearts here, that we needed a permanent home. Like, we needed, it was time. It was time, and we could do something. Because of y'all's giving, we could do something. So we set a goal that, you know, we felt was a it was a strategic goal. It was a planned goal. We said, by the end of 13, we're going to have a permanent space. I even said, we might not be fully in, but we might be fully. But we'll have a permanent space. We will have a home by the end of 2013. And so last year, we started kind of putting feelers out, kind of looking around, you know, just looking at all shapes and sorts of buildings, some like churches, some non-churches. And you know, we actually zeroed in on three spaces, and we didn't land at either of them. Two, because we decided we didn't feel the Lord was leading us there, and one, because they felt the Lord wasn't leading them to us. And we're like, okay, you know, cool. So it just didn't work out. And, you know, I kept praying, God, what are you doing? Where are you leading us? Where are you taking us? God, what do you have for us? What is our future? And then I will never forget, and I know Jill and Chris won't either because they were with me, and we call it the Monday in November that everything changed. There was a Monday in November, this past November. And in an hour, okay, in the span of an hour, two things happened. One is a space that we were looking at and praying about and really feeling good about and excited about. They essentially came to us and said, and we wanted to purchase this space. We wanted to buy it. And they basically said, we don't want to sell. We'd rather lease, and we're going to lease it to somebody else. Like, okay. Well, you know, it's not to be, and no problem. And then, like, 20, 30 minutes later, we're in our Fondren office, and, you know, some of y'all know that place, and y'all have been there. So we were sitting there, and then our new landlord came in, and he just said, you know, man, y'all been great tenants, but I got an offer on the table, and it's like 10 years, and it's with a business, and they're going to give me some of the profit. And it's like, I don't really want to make this a bidding war. And we were like, it's a bidding war. And he's like, yeah. And so, I mean, in an hour, you know, this news was given to us. So, you know, what do we do? I mean, we prayed about the Fondren space, and we're just like, you know, we can't make this massive commitment. We want to get our own space. So we said, we called them after Thanksgiving, and we said, we're gonna walk. But Thanksgiving week, another day that I will never forget, is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving 2012. Because I was, all this had happened, and I was sitting in Barnes & Noble's up in Tupelo. I know that's shocking to some of y'all, but yeah, I was hanging out in Barnes & Noble's, and Linda was with me, and we weren't sitting at the same table. She was over to the side. And, you know, I was literally thinking, like, God, what are you doing here? I mean, you know, we got a good church family. We got great leaders. We got resources. But, like, what's... Like, I was like, God, you're definitely moving. And, you know, those of y'all that know me know I battle against, like, control. I mean, control, you know, freak. And I was like, man, I'm not in control. Like, something is happening, and I can't control it. But I was like, I don't know what you're going to do. And, like, that moment, I mean, a person shows up. I mean, walks up to me. And he's a friend, and I knew him. He's from Jackson. And so anyway, I was like, hey, you know, bear hug, you know, guy stuff, all that. We sat down, and so we're talking and just, you know, sharing life and all. And Linda's over there with the headphones, you know, doing her stuff. And so we're talking, and then I know this guy might know about a potential space that I'd driven by and I'd thought about, but I was like, I don't know, who knows? So I was kind of thinking shot in the dark, but so I was like this, you know about this building, this space? You know, I'm kind of interested in it. What's your take? And he was like, man, it's funny you say that because I think they might be willing to sell that building. And I was like, I mean, there are moments in your life that are like, what just happened? Because like 30 minutes before, I was like, you know, in doubt and not sure. And then you see like an opening and there's some light. You're like, wait, that was God. I know some of y'all may have had those, but I hope y'all have, but it was like, wait. And it was almost like there was something I told Linda later. It's like I knew at that moment this was going to go down. I mean, it just couldn't happen that way. I mean, I know we want like facts and here's, you know, way, but it was like, I just knew something. He said, okay, I'm going to do some checking up and I'll get back with you. A couple weeks later, he said, you know what, I have done some checking up. I think they might be willing to do something. If I were you, man, I'd just go to this building, knock on the door, and just pray they receive it the right way. And so I did. And one afternoon, I just went, knocked on the door. It was locked, and nobody was there. So I called the number, and I just left a message, and it said, you know, Pastor Bellwether Church, like to talk, and this was like 3 days before Ethan was born, so it was like coming down, and like, it, you know, we're leaving our Fondren space, and I got a, you know, the baby we prayed for is being born. It's like, ah, God, what are you doing here? And so then this gentleman calls me back, like the next day, and I just said, man, I hope you receive this well, but would you be interested in selling this building? And he was like, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, we'd have a conversation about that. And so we met, that was like a Thursday morning, and I think he and I met on Saturday morning. And we met, and we had coffee, and we was kind of feeling each other out, you know, just kind of, and then obviously he checked out the church and, you know, read our website and probably made some calls and all that. And so then he said, man, why don't you come look at the space? And so, you know, we walk over there, and at the time, we're actually looking at another space in Ridgeland that we're, like, really close to. And it's a good deal, and on paper, everything looks great. We had not said anything, just been praying, you know, not told anybody. We're just like, God, what are you doing? And I didn't feel 100% on it, and I think some of our other leaders didn't feel 100% on it either. But we were, like, just trying to, you know, go through all avenues. So with this deal, this meeting I'm at on this Saturday morning, I'm like, man, I got to know something. Do you think, and I asked this guy, I was like, do you think this can happen? Because we're really close to pulling the trigger on another space. And it's not in Jackson. It's close. But like, I need to know, because this guy wants to close end of the year. And he just said, I think this could really happen. So that was done. It was over. And we started zeroing in. And I called some leaders, and we looked around. And then Christmas happened, and, you know, a new baby happened, and it was, you know, we needed to put it on the back burner, but if you know me, it's like in the front burner the whole time, and like 30 minutes before Ethan's born, I get a call about this, and I'm like, you know, it's just such is the life of a pastor, welcome to church planting, I suppose. Christmas comes and goes, and January 2nd, call this guy back, and they're still interested. And we have a larger meeting. Jill, Chris is there, some other staff, some leaders, and we want to move forward. And they want to move forward. And I'm like, man, this is too good to be true. This is really too good to be true. This is happening too fast. This is, God's certainly in this, but it's like right when you know something's going to happen, it's like, you know, the bottom falls out. And, you know, I just think, please, God, just, you know, and I was praying. I asked y'all to be praying. I said, man, things are real sensitive when you start getting into money and property and also history of a place. It gets real sensitive. And I was asking y'all to pray, and I knew asking y'all to pray would bring out, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And we couldn't tell y'all all the answers, but we needed prayer. And y'all prayed. I know many of y'all did. God listened to the prayers. And in the span of, well, like a two-week period, it started leaking out that this property might be for sale, and some other parties kind of sort of came into it and offered a lot more than we could offer. You know what I'm saying? And they still want to go with us because we're a church, and they want a church at this space because this space is a church. And it was last Sunday that North Park Presbyterian Church voted unanimously to sell all their property to Bellwether for the total of $1 million. So, it is. Now then, you know, I say all that, and that's just like, that is kind of the, you say, that may have been too much information for you, but it really was the short version of the story. And there were like so many things that were going on and so many kind of conversations. And I was like, man, I just really don't know if it'll happen. But if it does, it's just God. And it is and has been just God. It's a God thing. I mean, it's not about me or it's not about, you know, relationships or working this thing. It's God, man. And it is humbling. I mean, it is humbling when you're in the presence and like when you're literally seeing God work. It's humbling. I hope y'all will know that. I hope y'all will feel that. Maybe now, maybe some other time in your life. But there's some questions about our future, too, that come up. And before I get into the what's next on the property, I really think it's important to delve into this. So if you'll bear with me. And the question is like, you know, okay, if we're there, who are we going to be as a church? Going back to this identity thing. And I've always said a church is not a building. A church is not property. It's not, but it's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to be about right there? And I think you can go back to Jeremiah. And I want to read a couple of the verses really quick. Jeremiah 29, same chapter, verse 4. verse 4. Again, this is a people, God's people, living in a city, living in a culture that doesn't know God. What does God say to them? What does God tell them to do? Verse 4, he says, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to all the exiles." Verse 5, "Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens, eat their produce. Take wives, have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." I say that to y'all because we're not hitting the burbs. We're not going to the outskirts. We are going to be, and it's always been the vision, but we're going to be a church in this city. We're going to be a church for this city. In a city that's just like every other city, seemingly in North America, the culture raises up other idols that, you know, are not about Christ. But what do we say? We don't need to say, hey, they're bad and like we're good and this is holy ground on this little corner here that, you know, it's got a Whole Foods coming up and thank God we got a Starbucks close. No. We look to Jeremiah. What does Jeremiah say? Seek the welfare of the city. Seek for the human flourishing of the city. Be for the city. What we preached over and over again in the fall. I believe God is calling us to that corner to be for this city, to be a light for this city, to be for the flourishing of the city, government, arts, music, relationships, food, the welfare of the city of Jackson. And I say this because it is such a trap, and I want to say this on this Sunday, this particular Sunday, like right from the get-go. Are we interested in our neighbors around that community? We have to be. And I would say, yeah, of course. You know, Sunday, we got to be interested in our brothers and sisters beside us, our neighbor. And I would say, oh, yeah, I'm interested in Northeast Jackson or Metro Jackson. No, I mean our neighbors in the city. Are we interested in raising up leaders in our church? Raising up leaders in the church. I say those things because you know what? Someone told me, look, it's not like North Park Presbyterian wants to sell their church, man. I mean, it's their church for 30 or 40 years, and it's not going to be named North Park. But somebody told me, you know, there's some things that have happened over the history. One is, you know, just not intentional about reaching neighbors. Two is not willingly and intentionally raising up other young leaders. I've said this in several sermons, and if you were listening well, you might have called it what I was saying. Family churches. Family churches are great. I was raised in a family church. Family churches die. They die in the past. They die in the present. They will die in the future. That is not Bellwether's future. What I mean, like, I said this other story about a church out in Clinton, and he said, man, we're on this cusp that we can either be this wonderful, great family church, or we can be a church for the kingdom that reaches others, that raises up different people for Christ. And yeah, that's kind of messy, and yeah, I don't know what God's going to do, but like, the other option is just be this nice family church, and then one day we're not young anymore. One day we're not a church of young families. One day we can't afford the property, and we start looking at the reality. That's the road if we're not kingdom-minded. But our future is to be kingdom-minded. Our future is John 10:16. There are others. Our future is as you go. Not in addition. It's like looking at your life a different way. As you go. It's a great commission. Jesus says go. It means as you go. As you go to work. As you go to church on that corner. As you go to your neighbor. As you go delivering food. As you go. As you go to a party. As you go to the movie. As you go. As you go on vacation. As you go, make disciples. Looking at your life in a different light. The light of Christ. And raising up leaders here where there will be prophets for generations. God willing, one of my three sons will be a prophet here. That doesn't mean he'll be a preacher here. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll be everywhere, and who knows? Your sons, your daughters will be prophets here at Bellwether to nations. That's the future of this church. That's God's future. We want our church to be part of God's future. So what's next, real quick, just so you know where we're going? Well, first off, nothing is closed yet, okay? But it has been announced. It has been voted on. So they voted unanimously. We're looking to close, so y'all know, April 30th, it will be fully ours May 1st. So May 1st, you can be praying, you know, through that time. We're going to have to get financing. We've already been reaching out to banks, so we've got some offers, so y'all know. I mean, some of y'all are fascinated by that, some of y'all may not be. But we will, our deacon team will decide on an offer and present that. We are a United Methodist Church. They have provided and they have blessed us, so they'll have a property team kind of come in, you know, just evaluate everything. And then before April 30th, we're going to have what we call a congregational conference. And we're going to do it in a service. We're going to do it in a message where everybody, like, has a say, that we can stand united and say, like, amen, we want to do this together. That it's not, like, just my call. It's not just, like, the staff team's call. And so over the next 2.5 weeks, man, each week you're going to be hearing from me, like, here's where we are, here's what we're doing, here's what we're thinking about. So hopefully you will be here and just continue to hear about the progress, and then we can all say before April 30th, man, this is God's deal. We are moving together. We are united in His call, in His vision, in His future for us as a church, and you're a part of it, and you can feel a part of it, and that we move together to His future. Amen? Amen. What you can do, though, here's some things you can do, like right now. You can pray. You can pray for North Park Presbyterian Church. Okay, I mean, seriously, like, you can celebrate. Why don't you just kind of feel, experience, you know, what they're thinking, going through right now. And we have, you know, it's been very sensitive. And I'm thankful to say, man, we walked very gracefully and talked very gracefully. And it has been a very edifying relationship on both ends. But pray for them. I mean, pray for them. Think if it was your church. Pray for them, please. Pray for us. Pray for me. Pray for our staff. Pray for our leaders as we move into decisions. Decisions, you know, on financing. I mean, decisions on, well, what are we going to do? What changes? Decisions on moving in. There'll be a lot of decisions. I mean, and there's time to go into that. But just be praying for us as leaders and us as a church as we move in. What else can you do? You can be reinvigorated to serve. I mean, y'all have served so good, but now literally, like, there, the light is at the end of the tunnel. And it's literally, you know, only a couple more months. So, like, continue. Thank you, and just continue with setup and teaching and hospitality. And, like, just, you know, we've got, I don't know, I mean, 2+, whatever, months, 3+. I'm not going to name a date. But we're in the end of the road at JA. And let's celebrate our time here and continue serving here. Those are things you can do right now. And last thing I'd say is I really just want to say some thank yous. I first, just get it down, man. I want to thank the pastor of North Park. He's a guy, dude named Chris Wright. And, man, he's just been great in all this. Great for their church. Great in conversation. I thank North Park just in the way they've handled themselves. I do thank the United Methodist Church just for helping start this church and gracefully receiving these news. I've met with a couple pastors in the area, pastors at Christ United, David Brownlee, Frank Haynes, Chuck Matters, two of those who preached here last year, Ricky James over at St. Luke's. I wanted them to hear it from me, and you know, they're very gracious and very supportive. So I thank them. I want to thank our deacon team just for their leadership and prayers in all of this. They've been aware and they've been praying and supporting. Man, I want to thank our setup leaders. I want to thank our teachers. And y'all thank them. I mean, like, clap your hands. Actually, stand up for these guys. Stand up. Please. People who have led setup. Bull Angelo, Mark Hagwood, I saw him earlier. People who've led family, Holly Collins, Jennifer Morgan, all of our teachers, all of our setup crews. I mean, so many people. I mean, they have done a great job over 3+ years now. And, man, thank you. Thank you. Thank our staff, those who we work together week in, week out. Now, Joseph, Mark Heisel, Jill, and Chris, man, just thank you all for just hanging, man, and just doing it week in, week out, you know, just slugging it out and doing it joyously. Thank y'all. Thank my wife. I don't know where she is, man. Just love you. Just love you. I mean, I thank God. I thank God. So much of about church and faith is about us. It is. Biggest church, most people, most money, greatest leader, greatest servant. I mean, you know, we don't say that, but it is. And I thank God because, like, when you really see Him move and you see Him work and you take yourself out of the equation, you just kind of sit back. And I could say, well, that's happened over the last 3 months, but I really sit back over the last 5+ years. It has been a thing of beauty. And it has been the hardest 5 years of my life, and it's been the greatest 5 years of my life. And how God has stretched this church, grown me, grown my family, grown our church family. And the best is yet to come. The best is ahead. And it's not us, and we get caught up into it being about us. It's about God, what He's done in Jesus Christ. But more so, that because of Jesus, life is good for eternity. We want you to know that. And we want you to know the words of Jeremiah, that He knew you and He knitted you. But not just did He create you, He's got a purpose and a plan for you, a future of hope. And it's the same for us as a people, as a body, as one unit. That's why we want to move united. And we can say we have a future of hope. And there will be people that come in 13, and in 14, who won't have any experience of this place, but they're still part of Bellwether. They're going to be part of our family. They're going to be leaders in this family. And maybe there's a day to come that we will move again. And you'll hear me say, it's not about the building. It's about the people. But we thank God that He provides. And we thank God that we have a future and hope. And we thank God that He's got a purpose for your life. We want you to know it, find it, experience it here at this church that we happen to name Bellwether. Let's close our time. I'm going to ask you to stand again. We've done this a couple Sundays. We're going to do this today on this day. Move into the middle. Move beside each other. Grab a hand. One body, one church, united for Christ. And we're going to pray together, and then we're going to share in the Lord's Supper and communion together. But again, wherever you are, whatever you do, whatever you've done, wherever you are going, we want to be the body of Christ. We want to live for His kingdom here. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank You for these, Your people. Thank You for Your church. Thank You that You move and You work when we don't know how. We can't explain or don't know which button to push. And You still do in spite of us. That is good news, dear Lord. Humble us and help us to repent of wanting to control and wanting to do our own thing and have our expectations of what our church should be like. And help us say, man, it's all about You, God, what You've done in Jesus, what He's done for us. And let us live as a church, because there is a city and a community and a world and a culture that just needs to see examples of Your light. And so we may live that out just in being neighbors and in loving people and loving one another and loving God. That is what Your church is about. May we keep moving into that as this church. Thank You for these people. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.